Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
We're going to be talking today about Writers on the Edge. It's a provocative publication about a number of individuals that submitted some very, very personal story. But until she calls in, and by the way, our guest yesterday, they had major power surges in London. So we weren't able to get through because her computer was blown out. So we will be talking with that author probably next month. We're going to be rebooking her. I wanted to share a thought with you. It's nothing is more unaccountable than the spell that often lurks in a spoken word. A thought may be present to the mind and two minds conscious of the same thought. But as long as it remains unspoken, their familiar talk flows quietly over the hidden idea. The hidden idea. This was written by Hawthorne, who was a very respected writer. But one of the things that really pulled me into this quote very quickly were the two words he used, the hidden idea. We are living in very, very challenging times. And so often, you'll have conversations with people and you get into this real negative garbage between the politicians, between the corruption with different substantial businesses, with individuals, and it's very easy to get caught in the snare of negativity. But how is it that we can shift that? What can we do? Well, one of the things you can do is brainstorming. And I can recall an interview I had, oh, this was a good 3 or 5 years ago, and in the process of reviewing some material, one of the points that came out for people in business, it can be done with families, it doesn't make any difference the environment, is a word brainstorming, a hidden idea. How can we bring those ideas out? Necessity is often the mother of invention. And so often, if we're comfortable, we're complacent, we're not going to really try very hard to get to anything. And what evolves is this awareness that we really have to wake up all of a sudden. So what if in the course of conversation, if you're paying attention and you're aware that there's all of this negative stuff that's going on, how about inserting a sentence or two about, well, what do you think? What are the other options? What else can we do? And there may be an opportunity to have a total shift in thinking. I'll tell you, my first experience with that kind of an attitude was with a company that I worked with in Glendale, California, a number of years ago. And the company had been founded by a man. And this happened to be photo processing at the time. And the man that founded it worked very hard, had a core of people around him that were just absolutely awesome. They supported him during the time when it was beginning. The business was just growing. And so they had a lot of bumps and had a lot of potholes that they had to clear up. Eventually, the company went into its modem of success. Well, after it had been in business for about 15 to 18 years, it suddenly hit a very negative patterning. What was it? Number one, the company had grown quite fast. Number two, a lot of people had been brought into the company that really did not have a good idea of business. Number three, the expansion was so fast that they were not keeping up with the arrangement of space, with dealing with the needs of the employees. There were a lot of safety issues that had come up. Well, lo and behold, there was a real threat that came into the company. And that was that there was a strong union push to take over or really get involved in the photo industry. Well, the photo industry fought this very, very hard. And this company was in a situation where it really needed to make some changes. But the man that founded the company was too entrenched in his thinking that had worked very effectively 15 years before. Well, as it turned out, his son ended up coming into the company. His father had some health problems, and his son decided that he was going to do something a little differently. And what he did, he started having meetings. He had meetings with the employees and said, this is the situation we have, and you have the option to do whatever you want. Well, none of the employees wanted a union. They didn't want the union at all. But they were really, really upset with working conditions and some other things, which they had a justification to be concerned about. This young man, he was in his middle 30s. He said, all right, let's do it together as a team. And he started brainstorming. He had a meeting once a week. Not once a month, but once a week. He started brainstorming, and the process of that brainstorming was amazing. Absolutely amazing. That brainstorming enabled him to see things that he had no idea about relative to working environments. Also, the needs of the employees, the needs of the company to take care of some changes, the employment of some updating of technology, which was happening at a very quick pace. And there were a number of things. And it took a year, took 1 year. But a lot of very special ideas came out because of open conversation. And it took a few months for the trust to develop between the management level and the employees. But he worked very, very hard. His name was Scott. Scott worked very, very hard to break through a lot of the misunderstandings and ignorance on the part of the employees of what was really going on within the company. So you might say he became very transparent. What occurred was there was such a shift, a tremendous shift in the attitude of the people that were working within that structure. Not only did that shift occur, but they found that the employees got really enthusiastic about what needed to be done. So when it came time to brainstorming, people gained the confidence in the management. Now, management had more than one level to it. But the top person, which was this young man, really was making some changes. And he was having a tough time with his dad because his dad didn't understand a lot of the things that needed to be implemented. Finally, his dad backed off and found that his son really had it together. And the employees, along with management, made changes, and everybody understood it was going to take some time. And the flow of attitude was just amazing. Positive attitude was amazing. So where there had been that very, very negative, down in the mouth, just gossiping of everything going to you-know-where in a handbasket, things were turned around because there was an openness of communication. And again, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of months. But this young man decided this is what he was going to do because the company was important to him, and he knew changes had to be implemented. But there, on the other hand, the employees had to understand they couldn't be instantaneous. So there was a real openness that evolved on both sides. And the enthusiasm within the company itself really bloomed. So brainstorming sessions became something that evolved into once a month because everybody was so busy, the company was really doing well. These are things we need to remember. Here we are at a time in history in the United States where we really need to think outside the box. Instead of blaming, let's use that wonderful factor, that wonderful faculty that we as Americans have been noted for, and that is innovation. But let's use it in a way that's going to empower us to really make some breakthroughs. And I was just listening to some information today. There apparently is a high-tech firm in Las Vegas that is really making some phenomenal breakthroughs. I don't have a lot of information on it right now, but Las Vegas is an area that is so depressed economically. Yes, it has been considered one of the finest entertainment capitals in the world, but people aren't going to buy entertainment if they don't have a job. If you don't have money to spend, you're not going to spend anything. You can't. You don't have it. So there has been a lot of difficulty. However, within that core of very dark environment, there are some pretty bright lights. And these are the movers and shakers and people that are saying, we've got to do something differently. So no matter where you are, I don't care if you're in Paris, I don't care if you're in Bermuda, I don't care where you are in the United States, it or any other part of the world, you need to recognize that many times adverse situations present the opportunity for innovation. And that's what we need to remember. That's what we need to remember in our everyday lives. So let's take the negative and tweak it so it gives us leverage to move up, out, and forward into what we want instead of wallowing in what we don't want. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position in life is. I don't care if you make a few dollars a day or whether you make a gazillion dollars a day. The key is to be innovative, to be open, to be above board, and to say, let's work together. Let's get these ideas out. We don't have to be on the short end of the stick. That's not a requirement. If people want to stay stuck in that attitude, that's fine. But don't stay there yourself. I don't care where you are again in your life. Don't stay stuck. Well, we're trying to reach Diana. This has been a very interesting week with power outages and things like that. But without her on the line, we'll open up those phone lines. If you would like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. By the way, I want to mention to you quickly, for those of you who are in listening in from the state of Washington, I'm going to be doing an appearance at the Emerald Spiral Expo on March the 24th, and that is a Saturday. The hours for the expo are from 9 until 5. It's free admission. Wonderful activity going on. To check out for more information, go to emeraldspiral.com, emeraldspiral.com. And you'll find all of the information there. It's going to be held in Kent, and that's at the Kent Commons facility that is there. Music, music, music. I absolutely love it. Music is something that is so empowering on so many levels. And often, when I'm reviewing materials, for those of you that are regular listeners, you know I read anywhere from 400 to 600 books a year, and that doesn't include magazines and watching DVDs or listening to CDs of performing artists. Well, I often have a player and I'm listening to classical music many times, or certain sound CDs that I have gotten that have different tonalities when I'm reading. And I have to chuckle when I think about this, because there are so many people that I see walking around, young people that have their units blasting are so on so loud that I can hear them two or three seats away. But how many people are going around listening to their iPods and just really enjoying it? Well, I keep it at a very, very low volume, and I play it in the background, and I do it for a reason. I do it because it enables concentration. That may sound a little strange, but it's the truth. Music, especially classical music, enables the brain to shift into a particular modality. Your memory is increased, your absorption of maybe certain things that you want to be sure that you retain, that does have something to do with memory. But it's really interesting how it empowers the mind. And this is a study that, oh my goodness, was done so many, many years ago, where they found that students, if they played Mozart or Bach or Beethoven, you know, any of the classics in the background, very, very low, not high, but very, very low, their capacity for studying was just escalated. It was marvelous. Well, here is something that has come out that I thought was a perspective that I would share with you. If you listen to the classics, like a Mozart, is it going to make you any smarter? Well, according to Mr. Joseph Bernstein in his research, he said he doesn't think it makes that much of a difference anymore listening to Justin Bieber. Now, he said there has been an attitude about, let's say, Mozart's compositions, increasing brain power. And in his research, he found that it started in 1993. And this is what the study was all about. It was about neurobiologists Gordon Shaw, Francis Rauscher, and Catherine Key of the University of California at Irvine. In their studies, they found students who listened to 10 minutes of a Mozart sonata demonstrated a temporary increase in spatial-temporal reasoning. And they did this with an IQ test. Well, people really liked that, and so they started utilizing music. And there also was some other stuff that was done. However, there is a professor, Glenn Schellenberg, he's a professor of psychology at the University of Toronto, says he doesn't believe this. He doesn't feel there's a Mozart effect. He said any number of experiences besides listening to music might improve cognition. Most of the time, people find the music of Mozart very pleasant, and it might increase dopamine levels in the brain, which is generally thought to improve cognition. But in his opinion, he thought eating chocolate might have the same effect. Well, chocolate is good for just about anything, right? Right. Well, there was a team of Austrian researchers in 2010, and they analyzed the results from 39 attempts to replicate the Mozart effect that had been researched in 1993. And most of the people listened to a Mozart sonata before testing on the IQ test. And the scientists then compared the results against a control group that hadn't heard any music at all, and they didn't think that it made any difference. Now, there was another perspective that came in, and this one I really enjoyed. There were some researchers, Catherine Noel O'Shea and David Wolf of the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. Now, they did their own kind of research. They found that doctors who listened to Mozart before screening patients for colon polyps found more polyps than those who didn't. And they said they figured that the classical music probably made the doctors feel good, improving cognition. But who knows? According to Joseph Bernstein, he said, well, they could have listened to anybody's music and maybe it would have had the same effect. Well, I can't agree with him, and I'll tell you why. I know, and I've interviewed a number of people that have been involved in a lot of work with children. And the effects of music on children's thinking is phenomenal. And they've also done research regarding tones. And Jonathan Goldman, who has been a guest on my show many times, is one of the most respected people in the area of sound therapy and tonal understanding how to use tones to generate changes in the brain. Now, he's not the only one, but he's the one I'm most familiar with, and he's highly respected in his field. And musicians around the world and various scientists have worked with him on different projects. So sound does make a difference. And if you don't think so, listen for about 5 minutes to hard rock and then go to Mozart. I'll guarantee you your brain waves will shift. But it does make a difference. And there are certain tones that if they are constantly played, they actually can cause nerve disorders if they are played frequently and long enough because of the particular vibrational frequency. But music has been found to be very, very useful in healing. And I think when it comes to cognition, the reason that something like the classics might work much better is because it is more soothing. It produces a relaxed environment, and so there's not a great deal of stress. And when you're trying to learn something or you are just absorbing it, it's amazing how the brain is affected. So I just thought I'd share those fun little tidbits with you about music, sound, and, well, a lot more. But I'll tell you what I do agree with, and that's the chocolate. Chocolate is wonderful stuff, and it should be a must-have on one level or another on a regular basis. Don't you agree? Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. It looks like our guest, Diane, is not going to be available for our interview, so that line is open for you to call if you are so interested. If you have animals, and let's say you have dogs or cats, do you wonder if they dream? Well, I know for a fact my little Scotty, Victor, does dream. And they've got a lot of research on that. Do you know they finally, I just love scientists because there's always those that disagree. But in this particular report I came across, the absolute agreement among all concerned is animals dream. Well, why not? We're part of the animal kingdom. We dream. Why wouldn't the other animals dream? And, of course, Victor, when he goes into a real deep dream, I don't know what he's chasing or what he's doing, but he seems to be having a conversation because he's making all of these sounds, and I'm sure many of you can relate to your pets. There's a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia, and he wrote a book called The Intelligence of Dogs and said that animals, especially dogs, go through the same kind of sleep stages that we do, but they do it a lot faster. And they dream, but they just don't understand a lot about it, primarily because dogs can't tell about it, right? They don't know in their research the purpose of dreaming, of course. I understand the purpose of dreaming. It's the way of working out problems many times, and I'm sure those of you listening have probably experienced it more than once. The sensory stimulation of dreams, they suspect, helps to form new neural connections. And they also say dreams stimulate sections of the brain associated with memory. Do you know that finches replay the medley of their bird song in their dreams? And lab rats retrace the mazes that they've run in their dreams. I'd like to know how they figured that one out. What do I know? I'm not a scientist. But the reality is, most living things do have that experience. And, well, look at how much we get into it. In fact, speaking of that, on April the 14th, we're going to be having a class. We're going into Quantum Mind 3. And this is a class that I started in November. Quantum Mind 1 was started. We had no idea how successful it would be, and Robert Newman has worked with me in each of the classes so far. And in the first two classes, he was presenting feng shui. Well, in this class on April the 14th, we're going to be talking about Chinese medicine. I shouldn't say we. Robert is the expert in this area. So he's going to be talking about Chinese medicine, and then in the second portion of the program, I'm going to be talking about dreams, how to work with them, how to interpret them, and we're also going to be doing some intuitive mind exercises. And more information is going to be coming out about the class within the next few days. So if you would like to register for the class, the fee is $59.95. It'll be $69.95 at the door. But $59.95, we've already got people registering for it. It's going to be, again, on Saturday, the 14th of April, and it will be from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Lunch is going to be served. It is fabulous. We have just been enjoying this so much. It has been an awesome class, and each class is different. So we invite you to join us. Give me a call at my office if you want to get your reservation in. Send it to or call me at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. Okay, I missed the horoscopes yesterday. Oh, don't forget, you can give me a call because we've got open lines. I don't know what happened with Diana, but we'll find out. And the number to call to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Okay, your spring horoscope, and spring is here, big time. In the Pacific Northwest, we've got rhododendrons that are putting out gorgeous blossoms. Crocus of all colors come up. I am just amazed at the flowers that are blooming. We had snow yesterday morning, and here's everything just bursting with color, and it's just begun. The Pacific Northwest is one of the most wonderful areas to be in as spring evolves. It's an incredible experience. Okay, here we go. Spring horoscope for the signs of a Gemini and a Cancer. And if I have time, I'll do Leo. For those of you born under the sign of Gemini, well, you are going to find that love is reigning supreme. Oh, yes. Whether you're single or you're married, you're going to find that love is in the air big time. And also, you're going to find that the challenges that have been facing you, you're going to see how you can use them in an advantageous way and have those challenges serve you as you would never have expected. When it comes to money and career and your financial success, well, it's time to aim for a higher positioning or aim for the next step on your ladder for success. Don't worry about the challenges. Just gird yourself up, say, I'm going to take them on, face them head on, and by golly, you're going to really do well. Also, pay attention to your bills because you may end up having some errors. And, of course, in this electronic age, anything can happen. So don't assume anything with your bills. And you're going to find that your social life is really going to be improving, and also special trip plans are going to be made because you're going to want to get out and about this summer. And I know gas prices are extremely high, but I think you're going to be pretty efficient at how you make that dollar for whatever you spend it on. Do a nice little tap dance, and your frugality is going to pay off, and you're going to have a good time. For those of you born under the sign of Cancer, well, when it comes to relationships, you are going to find that you're going to be developing maybe some new associations, one of whom might end up being a very good confidant advisor. And also, you need to work with networking. You need to be able to meet new people, expand your social environment so that your environment for opportunity is going to become bigger, broader, and more rewarding. Also, when it's coming to your career, and you're wanting to attract money, by golly, look at getting your resume updated, and you will find that you're going to have a lot of things in your favor. If you're looking for a job, don't sit back and wait for somebody to come to you. Get out there and hustle your bustle, because you're going to get some good results. Also, when it comes to those dreams of yours that you really want to see certain things come into positioning, well, you're going to have some people that probably will help you on your way to achieving your dreams and your goals. Your confidence, it's going to be number one. So you just really want to stay focused. You want to realize that sometimes it takes a while to achieve what is most important to you. But if you stick to your guns, you're going to be able to reach it. Now, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment, so stay with me. We've got more good things to share. Some recipes. Ooh, and I want to tell you about some fabulous places in different parts of the country. One place is right here in the state of Washington where you can experience spring in all of its beauty. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Topperson online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Topperson, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Give me a call if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. I'll be delighted to do that. One of the things that came to my attention recently was corn syrup. And this is not something that I've used very much in cooking through the years. I know if you're a pecan pie person, that is one of the major ingredients that are used in pecan pie. But I gave it up years ago because I use real maple syrup instead, and pecan pies are yummy. In fact, I had someone that was very much involved with the positive health positioning and said, well, you know, the corn syrup really isn't very good for you. And they talked about the molecular structure and all of this. And I said, well, I don't use corn syrup in my pecan pie. And they couldn't believe it until they had a piece at my home when they were invited for a dinner. And they said, this is the most delicious pecan pie I've ever had. Well, this is something that I really had brought to my attention recently, and my husband was watching a program that involved a health professional that said corn syrup is one thing you need to be aware of because they feel it is something that's just in so much food. And I thought, nah, it can't be in all that much food. I was aware of it being in certain foods. Well, I'll tell you what happened just between yesterday and today. Out of curiosity, because of my husband telling me about this television program that he had watched, and then he had a conversation also with a very close friend of the family who has had a bit of a weight problem and told my husband, well, I've been able to trim off 8 pounds and I'm not dieting at all. I'm eating the same food I've always eaten, but I've eliminated one component. I have eliminated any foods that have corn syrup in them. And so with these conversations, I decided to start paying attention. So my husband had complained he had wanted to have some barbecue sauce with some pork that we had fixed, and I'd run out. So I went into the store, and I decided I was going to look at barbecue sauces, and I was going to pick up a small bottle. And I decided to read the labels. To my amazement, I picked up 10 different barbecue sauce bottles. Every single one of them had corn syrup in it. Some of them had it listed as the very first ingredient in their barbecue sauce, which means the corn syrup was the major part of the sauce. And there, some of them had tomato sauce and or tomato paste or puree in it as well. But I was just stunned. And I said, oh, my goodness. Well, then I went and I looked at yogurt. Now, this is really going to sound strange, but take a look at the container of yogurt when you buy it next time. I was stunned to find that a vanilla yogurt that had the store brand on it, sugar, and corn syrup were in this flavored yogurt. I was amazed. Well, I got another eye-opening observation when I went to a place where I pick up bread. And they have this particular kind of bread that we like. There's this Italian bread that's got this wonderful texture to it. So my husband likes it a great deal, and I try to go in and see it because they run out of it real fast. It doesn't stay there very long. But they had packaged breads, and they had packaged cookies, and they had other packaged items. And do you know, I went and looked at every single one just for the heck of it. Sure enough, corn syrup was listed as one of the primary ingredients. And often, it wasn't just the corn syrup, it was sugar as well. I found it with the English muffins. Fortunately, they were carried some English muffins that I looked at that were did not have corn syrup in it. But I thought, English muffins, corn syrup? Why are you putting it in there? So I'd like to just encourage you to really pay attention to what is on the labels of the prepared foods that you buy. There is so much research that's coming out regarding this because there is a particular molecular structure with the corn syrup, and I've read the information, and I honestly cannot recall it exactly at this time. But pay attention. If you're buying stuff for kids, read your labels. If you've got sugar and corn syrup in the product, you better ask yourself, is this something that I need to put into my body? So just be aware. But I'll just share that tip that our friend gave us. He gave up all products, and his wife said, yep, I'll be happy to eliminate it. No big deal to me. So he does not want any products in the house that have corn syrup in them, and he finds alternatives. And you know, I finally found a bottle of barbecue sauce that did not have corn syrup in it. It didn't even have sugar. Amazing. And on the front of its label, it had a big marker, no corn syrup in this barbecue sauce. So a lot of foods that are prepared, they will taste absolutely scrumptious because they're just packed with sugar. And I'm not a sugar person. I don't have a dislike of sugar. But I just was really stunned when I found out this information. So it's something. Don't just take my word for it. Check it out. Now, speaking of something that really can be very healthy, I have had so many interesting people on my show through the years talking about various seasonings, various items that you can use for wellness. Well, one of them that has been so absolutely fabulous is, in a way of information, is ginger, fresh ginger. Now, I have a love of ginger. I just really enjoy the flavor, and I love it in tea. And I'll fix black tea, and I'll grate some fresh ginger and add a little stevia to it, and it's the way I start my day. I just absolutely thoroughly enjoy my tea. Well, I don't think ginger's going to taste so good in coffee, but in black tea, it is just delicious to my taste buds. But it is a perennial plant that grows to the height of about 3 feet and has brilliant yellow flowers and with a touch of purple. And the botanical and common name of the plant are from the Sanskrit. So this is something that's been around for a long, long time. But I wasn't aware that there were hundreds of varieties of ginger. That's right. There's hundreds of them. Now, the reason that ginger has such a unique taste, it's a very pungent smell, and then the taste is, well, often people describe it as peppery. It's because ginger has within its cellular structure an oil, and it is the root, and the root often is described as a hand, and it originally came from Southeast Asia, to the best of their knowledge. And the people in India and in China have been using it for thousands and thousands of years to flavor food. And the Muslims have used it. And Marco Polo, in his documents about China, he wrote about the Chinese ginger plantations in the 13th century. So they really have been absolutely, I mean, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful spice. So I thought I would share a recipe with you for ginger. Now, ginger, you can buy it in the store where it's been preserved. You know, it's got a little bit of a sugar crust on it. Oh, is that good to munch on? It's really, really good. And it's been, well, it's just been used in so many different ways. But I thought I'd give you a recipe for some gingered pears, because when pears come out, it's a wonderful way to have something, especially if you wanted to put it up, can it, and you can have this, and it makes a wonderful gift. And the flavor is just absolutely wonderful. And you're going to find that in medicine, ginger plays a very significant role. In fact, it has so many good medicinal qualities. Just for the heck of it, sometimes just Google ginger and really find out what wonderful attributes it has for keeping you well, especially with viruses and other things that are going around. Now, with gingered pears, this recipe, you can use canned pears. That's right. They're already cooked, so you don't have to worry about it. But you need 7 cups of pear halves, which is about 2 one-pound cans of pears. It's about a pound, sometimes a little bit less than that. You're going to need 1 cup of firmly packed light brown sugar, and then you need 1.5 cups of granulated sugar, and then you want to grate the rind and also juice 2 lemons. And to get the most juice out of your lemons, put them in the microwave for maybe about 15 seconds, and it helps to break up the moisture within the cell membranes of your lemon, so you get even more juice out of it. You're going to need 1 tablespoon of ground ginger, 1/2 cup of diced crystallized ginger root, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 1/4 cup drained maraschino cherries. That's equivalent to maybe about a 4-ounce bottle of maraschino cherries. This is how simple this is. And again, this makes a wonderful gift for people. And it's a real treat. If you wanted to fix some of this and can it up, put it up, and just give it away as gifts, it's fabulous. And it's good with ice cream, too. You drain your pears. You want to put the syrup aside. You take 1 cup of your pear juice, mix in the sugar, lemon rind, or the pear syrup, and the juice of the lemons. You add your spices, and you boil it gently for only 5 minutes. Then you're going to put in your pears, the maraschino cherries, and you just cook this whole combination until it's heated through, about 10 minutes, and you then pack it in hot sterilized jars, or if you're going to serve it for a to-do, you know, the Easter holiday is coming up, this would be great for an Easter brunch, and it makes about 3 pints. So it's just wonderful. And if you wanted to cut up the pear halves so that it would be easier to serve in some, however you'd want to serve it, that's a great thing to do too. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story about a woman who decided she was going to, talk back to her doctor. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to give me a buzz, is 888-627-6008. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the dance of the electric hummingbird, and this person, well, Patricia Walker, we had to change her from last month to this month because some unusual things had come up, and that's okay. It's worked out well. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about the Millionaire's Handbook. Do you ever wish that you could be a millionaire? Well, doesn't everybody at one time or another? Vicki Oliver is going to show us how, if you want to have that feel in your life, the things you can do to get it. That's right. And by the way, show information about my upcoming guests. All you have to do is go into that button that says show information on bbsradio.com. Tap it and you'll get a listing of all the write-ups on all of my guests. It's just absolutely wonderful, and I'm really pleased to have so many people. And even though our authors have had some challenges, like the one yesterday that wasn't able to be on the show because her equipment was blown up, basically, blown out, maybe I should say, because of a power surge and she couldn't get through, well, those things happen. But I got an email regarding that today, and that was all put into its proper positioning. So we'll be talking about this young lady and her story probably next month. Well, I said that I wanted to share with you some locations in the United States that if you enjoy flowers, you must take the time if you have the opportunity to go. And I will tell you, here in the state of Washington, at Mount Vernon, the Skagit Valley Tulip Festival, La Conner, it is breathtakingly gorgeous. Now, it is starting around the 1st of April, going on the entire month, and you will, if you have the opportunity, if you're in the state of Washington or you're planning on coming into the state of Washington, this is a must-see. The first time we ever saw it, we came up over a hill, and it was breathtaking. I had never seen to this massive a scale the array of tulips and the colors they had. And then you go down into the valley, and there are all of these farms. And you actually can take tours going to each farm, but you can drive around to them too. Wow, what an experience. And millions of people go to see it. It is just absolutely gorgeous. And another awesome place, which I've yet to have the opportunity to experience, and I'd love to do it one year, and that is go to Washington, D.C. I think Washington, D.C. is a must for just about every American because there's so much there. It is just a very, very special place. But in the spring, they have their National Cherry Blossom Festival. Now, theirs starts around the 20th of March, goes on to April 27th. And the trees are breathtakingly gorgeous, and they are just absolutely everywhere. And I think D.C. looks absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So that's one place. Carlsbad, California. Now, this is another place. If you're in California and you're listening to the show, take time to go see this. And if you're going to be visiting that golden state, this flower power is awesome. and it's 50 acres, and they've got all kinds of flowers in this flower field. And I've passed by there occasionally through the years when I've been on various business trips, and it takes your breath away. You will, if you go down Highway 99, there are near Santa Barbara, for example, you will have these flower fields, too, that are just absolutely gorgeous, and they're up on the hill, some of them. And they are just spectacular in color. Also, you can go to Virginia. And Virginia is a lot like Washington in that you will have areas where they have huge, huge, tremendous amounts of rhododendrons in bloom. And you can go to Richmond Airport. There's just so many places, and the Virginians love their flowers. Well, they have what they call their Historic Garden Week, and they call that the America's largest open house. It's a statewide event. And there are more than 250 beautiful gardens and historical landmarks that you can visit. Virginia is an incredibly beautiful place. So if you go there, or if you like the warmer temps, go to Austin, Texas. They have their wildflower days. And you know what? Their time is March 12th through May 31st. Now, oh, Virginia, I don't know that I mentioned April 21st to 28th. That's when they have this phenomenal flower bonanza. And in Austin, Texas, their wildflower days are March 12th through May 31st. And this came about because of Lady Bird Johnson. And this lady had such a love for wildflowers. And by golly, Austin, which is one of the most beautiful, beautiful places you can go to, sometimes Texas, I had memories as a child of Texas being dry, barren, and you drive for miles and you didn't ever see anything. Well, I'll tell you, Austin is green. Austin reminds me a great deal of the state of Washington. It's beautiful, and that has a wonderful story. If ever you have a chance to go to Austin, check out the bats. Yes, check out the bats. They have a phenomenon with bats that occurs every day. Just about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's breathtaking to watch. Absolutely wonderful. So those are some locales. If you just want to see something beautiful and welcome spring with joy and enthusiasm, that's what you want to do. Well, I told you that I had a story about a woman who really stood up for herself. Her name is Kathy. She's 29 years old. And Kathy runs a center for mentally disabled adults, and crises, well, they're pretty commonplace for her. But she had one happen to her, and she was in a dilemma. She didn't know how she was going to take care of it. She got sick, and when she went in to the doctor, the nurse, for some reason, because it wasn't the doctor's request sheet, had a chest x-ray done. Kathy had gotten some kind of laryngitis and was really not feeling well. Chest x-ray comes back. The doctors read it, and they find an abnormal something on Kathy's left lung in the upper lobe. And her voice, where it had disappeared, she was able to speak all of a sudden. And she said to her doctor, "Is it lung cancer?" Well, the doctor said, "No, you don't smoke, you're healthy, you're young. There's not a possibility for this." So there was a pulmonologist that came in, lung specialist. He checked her out, and he said, "Nah, this has nothing to do with lung cancer." Well, Kathy couldn't shake it. Everything inside of her said, the doctors are wrong. And she double-checked with someone else. This time it was a surgeon. Surgeon said, "No, you don't have lung cancer. You're young, you're healthy," the same thing. Well, she couldn't shake it. She said, "For some reason, I feel like these physicians are not paying attention." Well, Kathy asked for a sign. Mm-hmm. She asked for a sign. "Oh, my goodness, I just looked at the clock. I can't tell you the rest of the story. I'm going to have to finish this story tomorrow." Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You'll find out more about Kathy tomorrow. We are out of time. I'm so delighted you were able to join me. I'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.